Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. It's lovely to see so many people here, and we give a special welcome to the family and friends of William and Lydia and James and their families. It's lovely to see you all. There will be lots of exciting activities for the younger members of the congregation later on in the service, so please do go out and enjoy them later. Welcome to anybody else who's visiting us as well, and anybody who's listening to the service later. Coffee will be served as usual after the service. Don't think we have any extra notices today, so I'll just leave it to our minister Katie to leave our baptism service this morning.
Good morning, everyone. And a very warm welcome to you. Some opening words. We welcome the presence of God, who commanded faithful people throughout the ages to love God, love neighbour, and love ourselves. We welcome the presence of Jesus, our teacher and brother, who reminded us again that the whole of God's law can be summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. We welcome the presence of the Spirit, which moves us to love our neighbour through the hearing and understanding of their diverse voices and languages, just like on the first day of the church. And may you find a welcome here in the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Going to sing a song of love and joy. Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. And if any of the young ones want, there's some little instruments here. The only rule is at the end of the hymn, you've got to pop them back. Okay. So if you'd like one, do help yourself as we sing. And if any of the older children, there are some flags as well. Well done. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's pray. O Holy One, breath of our life, source of grace and limitless love, we praise you. We thank you that you love us unconditionally, that we are all precious in your sight. We thank you for teaching us how to love and how to live in community, treating one another and ourselves with the same deep love and respect that you show to us. We thank you for the gift of family, for those who love us and are there for us in all things at all times. And we thank you for calling us to be family in this place, all your children gathered in your name. We are bound together in our humanity and in our need for love. We don't always manage to live in the ways that you have taught us to. Sometimes due to the stress and the busyness and the frustrations of life, we lose our patience. But we thank you that we can turn to you each day and know your healing forgiveness. And as we become aware of that healing, love and gracious forgiveness, we hear the call to forgive others also. So we thank you and praise you for your love and grace to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you a photo. I don't know if you can see with the light there. That's a photo. Can you spot me on the photo? Can you see me? That's my family. There's my mum, my brother. My brother's called Paul. And there's my dad. But that's my closest family. But I've also got an Uncle John. And I've got an auntie who's from Kenya. And I've got two cousins, but that's about it. A very small family. Who is in your family? Can you see, if you can think of all the people and the names of the people that are in your family? Have a chat to the people next to you. If you haven't got family with you, you might want to ask the person next to you, where's your family? There you are, over to you. Who's in your family? To name a few people in your family. Has anybody got a family that's so big you'd need more than two hands to count them? Some of you have got really big families. Some of us have got little families. And you know, everybody in your family is different, aren't they? You know, my brother, he's disappeared. My brother, he's a runner. He loves marathons. Any chance he goes running. I'd run if I have to catch a bus or a train, but we're different. People in our family, we're families, we're connected together, but we're all different. And we think of the church gathered here as a family as well, and we're all different ages, all different backgrounds. But when we gather as a church, we think of ourselves as a family. And we're going to sing a song now before our baptism. This is for children and the big kids amongst us. So do feel free to join in the actions. But if you'd rather not, just sing the words that are in it. It talks about us being all part of the big family of God. And in one point in the song, and that says, and you, 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 all part of the family of God. Feel free to join in, but if you'd rather not, don't worry.
Some of us are big and tall, some of us are very small, some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading books, some of us like feeding ducks, that's because we're different, me and you. But God loves everyone he's made. God loves Some of us have specs to wear. All of us have different families. Some of us are very loud. Some of us don't make a sound. That's because we're different, you and me. But God loves
of the big family of God, and baptism is a welcome into that family, the family of the church. Baptism is a sign of God's love. In it, we celebrate the life of Christ laid down for us, the Holy Spirit poured out upon us, and living water offered to us. In baptizing, we respond to these words of Jesus that we will see on the screen in a moment. Just wait for those words to appear. Hopefully, will appear. There we are. So, in these words, we respond to the words of Jesus who said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to always, to the end of the age." In words that have been passed down through the centuries, we proclaim the faith of the church. The words belong to all who have ever gathered in Christ's name. And we're all invited to share in them today. And so I ask you, if you wish to respond to these words of faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life? Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who died for us and rose again? Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God? This is the faith of the church. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of water and the Holy Spirit, for your sustaining, cleansing and life-giving power. Your Spirit moved over the waters at creation, and you led your people to freedom through a parted sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. He was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and anointed with the Holy Spirit. He passed through the deep waters of death and lives forevermore. He offers life-giving water and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So pour out your Holy Spirit, that the ones baptized in this water may die to sin, be raised with Christ, and be born to new life in the family of your church. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I'm going to invite James and Jen to come forward with William and Lydia. And also, if you'd like to come and stand here at the front with me, and if your godparents would like to, come and stand perhaps to the sides here. We nearly had the parting of the seas. Yeah. All right, there for a moment. So. Yeah. So what? I'm going to ask your mum and dad some questions first. Jen and James, do you wish for William and Lydia to be baptized?
We do.
Jen and James, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God?
By the grace of God, we do.
Do you turn to God, trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as helper and guide?
By the grace of God, we do.
So what... Just making sure the water's cooling us now. Normally too cold. Is that water okay? Do you want to put your hand in it and check? Is it still warm? I don't think we've had this problem before. Wait a minute. Just one pause. Is it? You want it warm? There, just a teeny bit of extra cold water. There we are. Yeah. So what name have you given your eldest child?
William James.
So William, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered death on the cross. And for you, he triumphed over death, rising to newness of life. So get to baptise, you know, with the water. Is that okay? So, William James Holland, I baptise you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By baptism, God has received you into the church. I'm going to make a sign of the cross on your forehead, the sign of God's love with you now and always. Amen. And Emma's got a candle. Emma's going to come and light a candle. You want to see over there? She's going to light the candle for you.
William, receive this light, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way.
And we say, may you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Amen. And we're all going to... Now, I wonder whether Daddy might want to hold that for you.
Oh,
yeah? No? And we're going to join in a blessing together. So, William, can you spot your photo up here, up on the screen? Yeah. William, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Now, perhaps one of the godparents might like to hold that. Are you going to be held? Yeah, do you want to ask one of your godparents to hold that for you? Yeah? Oh, well done. Well done, William. And now we're going to... It's Lydia's turn. So what name have you given your daughter?
Lydia Mary.
Right, I wonder if will you come with me? Aren't you beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. Lydia, for you Jesus Christ came into the world. For you he lived and showed God's love. For you he suffered death on the cross, and for you he triumphed over death, rising to newness of life. So Lydia Mary Holland, I baptise you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By baptism God has received you into the church, and I give you a sign of the cross, the sign of Christ. Amen. Right, you want to come back? And we've got a candle for you as well.
Lydia, receive this light, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way.
May you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Amen. I'm going to... There. And so we join in blessing Lydia together. Lydia, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Amen. And now I'm going to invite James and Jen to respond to God's love by making their promises. Will you love William and Lydia, committing yourselves to care for them in body, mind and spirit?
God's help.
Will you therefore ensure that they are nurtured in the faith and life of the Christian community?
God's help, we will.
And will you set before them a Christian example that through your prayers, words and deeds they may learn the way of Christ?
God's help, we will.
And now, William's godparents here.
Yeah, Hazel.
Lovely. Right. So, just to say for William's godparents, Hazel and Hannah, Sam and Al, will you help James and Jen to nurture William in the Christian faith?
With God's help, we will.
Thank you. And to Ruth and Bex, Godfrey and Alan, will you help James and Jen to nurture Lydia in the Christian faith? Thank you. We're going to come to the congregational promises later on, but now we're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd and I Will Trust in You Alone," chosen by Jen and James for today. And I don't know whether Lydia might chance coming and visit. Should we give a go? They'll come and visit you. There we are. So we're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd." Do you want to come with me as well? Come and say hello to everybody. Thank you. Do you want to come inside? Yes, he was right. You want to come and stand. Now, I'm actually going to ask you to introduce yourself. What's your name?
James Douglas.
Right, and James, where do you live?
Freshwater, Sydney, Australia.
Australia. So James has come a long way to be baptized today. So why have you come all the way here to be baptized?
My sisters were baptized here.
Right, your sisters were baptized, and we managed to spot their names, didn't we, on the... What are their names?
Maya, Georgia, and Isabel Emma.
Right, so they were baptized here. But so why were they baptized here? Why did they come all the way from Australia to baptize? Who comes here that you know?
My grandma.
Yeah, so Grandma Joan is our church organist, who's got the morning off, one of our organists. And so you've come with Dad today.
Yes.
I'm going to be asking questions, and I will be including Mum's name in making the promises, but you are answering on behalf of both of you today. Thank you for answering those questions. And I know, as we were saying yesterday when we met, that this is probably in the middle of the night for James. So he's doing really well to be standing and being awake here. So I first ask you, would you like to be baptized?
Yes, I would.
Thank you. I'm going to ask some questions now to Dad, but as I said, including Mum's name, because she's thinking of you today. Well, or will be when she wakes up. So Nigel and Michelle, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God?
By the grace of God, we do.
Do you turn to God, trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as helper and guide?
By the grace of God, we do.
So James, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered death on the cross, and for you, he triumphed over death, rising to newness of life. So I invite you to step near the water here. So James Douglas Houghton, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And with this, God, by baptism, God has received you into the church. So with this water, I give you a sign of the cross, a sign of Jesus in your life, now and always. Amen. And Grandma's going to come and present the candle to you. It's just there, ready to light.
James, receive this light, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way.
May you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Amen. And we're going to all share in blessing you. So James, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. So I'm going to now ask Dad to make those promises. Nigel and Michelle, I ask you now to respond to God's love and grace to your child. Will you love James, committing yourselves to care for him in body, mind and spirit?
With God's help, we will.
Will you therefore ensure that he's nurtured in the faith and the life of the Christian community?
With God's help, we will.
And will you set before him a Christian example, that through your prayers, words and deeds, he may learn the way of Christ?
With God's help, we will.
Thank you. And I'm just going to ask sort of Jen and James, if you just want to step forward with the little ones as well, only if she's she's all right there to say. Oh, thank you. So just to say, members of the body of Christ, we rejoice that William and Lydia and James have been baptized. To the congregation, I ask, will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. With God's help, we will. And we share together in the blessing on the screen. I hope you can see. Generous God, touch us again with the fire of your Spirit and renew in us all the grace of our baptism, that we may profess the one true faith and live in love and unity with all who are baptized into Christ. Amen. So it's with great joy that we welcome William and Lydia and James into the family of our church. It's just really special to have you all with us today. And as I say, I've never had someone travel quite so far to be baptized. Now, on the last screen there, you might have spotted there was something that looked like a christingle, but it was a baptingle. Oh, and before you go, we've got some books. I nearly forgot, Chris. We've got some books that are gifts on behalf of the church for you. I've also got a certificate there for you, and a certificate for Lydia, and the boxes there for the candle.
Oh, thank you.
So just to say now, well, as adults begin to sing the song, there are lots of activities in the church hall, including making baptingles, which you can go and find out all about. And if any of the parents want to go through and then come back, or if you want to go through and stay, you are welcome to. I hope you have lots of fun through in the hall this morning. So
thank you.
Bless you. God bless you all. So we're going to sing as the children and any families that wish to head into the hall. You're welcome. We're going to sing Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Thank you.
seated, going to hear our reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
Reading is from chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
I wonder if you've ever found yourselves wearing the wrong clothes for a certain occasion. When I first moved here, one of the first things I was invited to was a ceilidh. And I set off wearing jeans and everything that I normally wore. And then halfway through, I thought, oh, Wilmsa might be a bit, I might need to dress more smartly. So I drove back home, put on something smarter, and I got there and everybody was wearing jeans. And then I was invited to another ceilidh, so I went in jeans, and everybody was dressed really smart. It was really embarrassing. Sometimes clothes are important, or at least they're helpful in certain social situations. I was with a group of people the other day, and they started to talk about a certain leader not wearing the right clothes at the cenotaph in London. Now, whatever you thought about that, I hadn't even been aware of it, but whatever you thought about that, you know, clothes can make a statement. When I was, I used to live in Chile, and my church there, everybody dressed very, very casually, and it was sort of jeans and t-shirts, and, you know, the idea was that, you know, we honour God by our words and not by our clothes. And yet, for some people, it's still very important that we express honour through what we wear. Interestingly, for a culture in which most people had no more than one change of clothes, there are quite a lot of references in the Bible to people changing clothes or receiving new sets of clothes. There's one story which I used to find really difficult until I understood what it meant. And it's about somebody who goes to a wedding feast, a wedding celebration, and is chucked out because they're wearing the wrong clothes. And I used to think, oh, that's really unfair. What does it matter what he was wearing? But actually, the story was a parable and full of symbolism. And basically, the wedding was a symbol of the community of God, living by God's ways of love and justice and peace. And the fact that somebody had not bothered to change was more about the fact that they hadn't put on the clothes of love and peace and grace. They hadn't even bothered to make an effort to change. The parable wasn't about needing to be dressed perfectly, needing to be perfect, but at least having the intention and the desire to make a change to fit in with the ways that God calls us to live by. Baptism in the early church also included a new set of clothes. Baptism then was for adults initially, and it was in the river. And the idea of baptism, it was a symbol of intention. It was a symbol of intention to turn around and follow Jesus. To turn away from a life that was focused on ego or just the interests of self and what I can get out of life. To do, and the word was a repent, which was based on a military term, to do a full about turn. So the idea was to turn away from a life that was focused on what I want. To turn, to make sure that life is focused on what God calls us to live by and for, from love, with peace and justice and grace and forgiveness at the heart of our living. Nobody needed to pass any tests or have any qualifications to be baptized. There was no 10-week course and knowledge of scriptures. It was simply about an intention and a desire to follow Jesus. And when they were baptized, they went down in the river as a way of saying goodbye to the old way of life, and they rose to a new way of life. And the clothes were symbolically discarded that they'd come with, and were given white robes as they came out as a symbol of their intention to live in the ways of God. A symbolism of leaving behind an old life and starting a new one. Some people, at least my dad was telling me, as a child at Easter, he got a new set of clothes. And for those who might remember getting a new set of clothes at Easter, it was because Easter was a traditional time of baptism and renewal, again, repeating those baptism vows to desire and make our intention clear that we choose to follow Jesus. Baptism has been described as recognizing life's deeper purpose and choosing that purpose. Created in the image of God, we are created to love. Richard Rohr writes that love is who you are. When you love, you are acting according to your deepest being, your deepest truth. When you don't live according to love, you're outside of being and not being true to you. One of those old repeated films on TV was You've Got Mail. I don't know if anybody remembers watching You've Got Mail. And it's one of my favourites. And Meg Ryan in that film, the character she plays, is like so frustrated that, you know, she often wanted to, after an event, could think, oh, I wish I could have said this, and I could have said that, and I could have said the other. And eventually in the film, she reaches a point, and she does say exactly what's on her mind. And afterwards, she's just filled with utter regret, because it just wasn't her. And she felt, you know, when she did say something, you know, that wasn't particularly nice, it jarred, because it wasn't who she was. I wonder if there is that sense sometimes that, you know, when you've been at your most kind, patient and compassionate, that you experience that sense of your deepest true self. We are created by love for love. The idea of infant baptism came about when the parents who'd been baptized as adults wanted their entire family to live within that shared purpose, together, rooted in love, growing in love, in deeper relationship with one another, and in deeper relationship with God. And so children began to be baptized, so the whole family was united in that sense of love at the heart of life, love as our very purpose. Whilst created for and in love, it's still a choice that we have to make, to choose love. It's easy to get caught up in the patterns of behaviour. I had the privilege of baptising a young adult, Ellie. Fortunately, she was baptised in a nice warm swimming pool rather than in the cold river that she nearly chose. And it, you know, and sometime after her baptism and reflecting, for her it was a completely sort of new, you know, thing in her life to come to faith and explore what it meant for her. And, you know, explore how that could be reflected in how she lived. She said one day, you know, the hardest thing has been in the staff room at school. And, you know, and perhaps not joining in with some of the banter in the same way that she'd done before. And really thinking about what the weight of her words and how she could speak with words of love and compassion rather than judgment. It's not always easy. Again, Richard Rohr writes that you have to deliberately, consciously choose to love and not hate. You have to work to live in love, to develop a generosity of spirit, a readiness to smile, a willingness to serve instead of take. And that's what our passage from Colossians was about, the choice to take on the ways of Christ, to be clothed in compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience and forgiveness, and above all, love. In the earlier part of the chapter, Paul had been reminding people that they needed to let go of some things, to take off some things, to let go of negative, of anger and hate, of words and actions that cause harm. Our behaviour has to reflect our belief. You know, and how important is it today that we choose words of love, that we choose words of kindness? The sort of brutal negativity that there is in social media, in our news, words where people are shamed and judged, words of hate, have such a negative impact on our young people. A group of teenagers at one of my other churches just said they knew and sensed how destructive it was, and yet they were drawn to it and challenged to try and work out how they could respond differently. We really need, in the climate of, you know, of our country, to hear Paul's teaching, to have voices in our, voices in our culture, you know, can encourage us to judge and dismiss and create fear of others. We're challenged to be clothed in love, to be clothed in gentleness, to choose forgiveness. Again, Richard Rohr says this is the supreme work of your entire lifetime, something that has to be at the top of your daily priority. Some time ago, I taught a group about John Wesley, who was the person who began the Methodist Church. He had a pattern of prayer where every day he would spend some time just focusing on love. And another time of day he would set aside to focus on peace. And again, an hour when he looked at humility. He wouldn't stop what he was doing. Whatever he was doing, he would just sort of go through in his mind the words of love or peace or grace. And having shared that, one of the mums, Mel, said, you know, every morning going to school with her little boy, they talked about love and they gave thanks for love. And they asked that each of them might be more loving that day. And then they just repeated the word love together as they walked. There's something about choosing love, dwelling on love. Choosing to draw on a source of love that is far bigger than ourselves. Yet a love which is always available, always given, always free. It's written that God doesn't love you when you change, but he loves you so that you can be changed and transformed and set free of guilt. Excuse me. We had a lady whose life we celebrated earlier in the year, and this was the passage that was chosen. And Edith had lived her life with polio and had gradually become physically more and more challenged so that she became, you know, she couldn't easily get out of her flat or the community where she lived. And it was said that, you know, she could have put on the clothes of anger, the clothes of bitterness, but actually she chose to put on the clothes of compassion and justice, and she really fought for others so that they could have the support that they needed. We're taught to clothe ourselves in love, in compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility and patience, all of which include forgiveness. What clothes will you choose to put on each day with God's help and with his grace? I'm going to share with you a short meditation. And it's based on the fact that in part of our faith is that, you know, we do not need to earn love. It's not about how perfect we are. It's not about how we strive. But it's about our simple intention to draw close to God in love. It's written by Desmond Tutu and his daughter. Don't struggle and strive so, my child. There's no race to complete, no point to prove, no obstacle course to conquer for you to win my love. I've already given it to you. I loved you before creation drew its first breath. I dreamed you as I moulded Adam from the mud. I saw you wet from the womb and I loved you then. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Stop racing ahead at your own pace. You will only be exhausted, flamed out, and spent before the task is accomplished. Pace yourself with me. Walk alongside me. Do you think I don't know the demands of your life? I see you striving for perfection, craving acceptance. You are a child after my own heart. Seek out your deepest joy, and you will find me there. Find that which makes you most perfectly yourself, and know that I am at the heart of it. Do what delights you, and you will be working with me, walking with me, finding your life hidden in me. Ask me any question. My answer is love. When you want to hear my voice, listen for love. How can you delight in me? I will tell you, love. The tough, unbreakable, unshakable love. Are you looking for me? You will find me in love. There is only one, love. Do you want to know me? Do you yearn to follow me? Do you want to reach me? Seek and serve love. Amen. We're going to use a hymn in our prayers, and we're going to I'm going to invite the choir and congregation, if they know it, to sing it for us. We're going to remain seated. Lord of life, we come to you. And when I say the word Lord of life, we come to you, we will sing this. It's only one verse. Gracious God, we pray for our families. We will know members of our families with different needs and challenges at this time. For those who are unwell, those who perhaps have difficult decisions to make, in a moment of silence, we hold our families before God in prayer. Particularly asking that God's love will enfold and sustain those who are facing hard times. Lord, enfold our families in your love. Lord of life, we come to you. Today we especially pray for Lydia and William, for James and Jen, and James, Nigel and Michelle, and James's sisters. We ask your special blessing upon these families, that they might continue to grow in love, growing in closer relationship to you and to one another. We thank you for their friends and their families and those who support them. Enfold them in your love. Lord of life, we come to you. Gracious God, we pray for our church family. We thank you for every member, from the tiniest baby to those over 100. We thank you for each and every one. We pray that we might grow stronger in your love and might continue to grow in our care of one another. In a moment of silence, we remember those who are unwell, those who are mourning, and ask that you bless them. So, Lord, we ask that you enfold the church family in your love and inspire us and call us to share that love in this community. Lord of life, we come to you. We pray for our local community here in Wilmslow and the communities from which we come. We pray for those struggling to find work, struggling with the pressures of life, those struggling with issues of mental health, and we pray that there will be sufficient support within our community for all those who are in need. And we pray that we might know how we can reach out and support and care for those who are lonely or finding life hard at this time. Strengthen us as a community that is built and rooted in love of one another, of all different backgrounds. Enfold us in your love. Lord of life, we come to you.
Lord of life, we come to you.
pray for our nation, especially at a time of political turmoil. We pray that our leaders might be granted wisdom, that speech might be gracious, and there might be a willingness to listen to one another. Enfold us in your love as a nation. Help us as we move forward to be united in love of one another, no matter what differences of opinion may be held. Lord of life, we come to you. Gracious God, we also pray for peace in your world. There are so many places of discord. We pray for all of those aid agencies, NGOs that are seeking to bring relief. We pray for wisdom, for love and peace. Accept all of our prayers, we pray, as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. The words will be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Before our final hymn, just to say, if you did drop off children, please go and collect them. but basically to say that go to the hall rather than waiting for them to come to you. I hope they've had a lovely time, and I hope that you will have lovely times this afternoon together. It's been a joy to have you with us. Also, rather than for the members of the congregation, rather than our normal offering, there will be a retiring collection at the door. We're going to sing our final hymn, whose words are based on the qualities of love, letting love be real. Thank you. As God loves us, let us love one another. May you go filled with God's love. May you go filled with his Spirit. Go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.